You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today's show is dedicated to the memory of Tony Whitfield.
Wake up and start to...
This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Decibel Geek Podcast. I am Aaron Camaro. Chris Sinzak, well, he's not here quite yet. And, you know, it's come to my attention, you know, while I've got the microphone here and while Chris ain't around, I'd just like to take a moment to say, you know, it's come to my attention that a lot of people know me as a guy that's kind of made his name in professional wrestling, you know, and you might notice now my voice is pretty shot, and that's because just this last weekend I was at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds with Crossfire Entertainment and doing the benefit for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. It was a huge show. There was like almost 900 people in attendance, you know, and I always promised Chris, and I guess the number one rule on me on this Decibel Geek podcast is not to turn this into a wrestling podcast, which I promised I wouldn't do, but I just wanted to take a minute because I ran into a lot of people down there last night that were rock and roll fans. And it's been told to me, you know, and I believe it, that 94% of all KISS fans are also professional wrestling fans. Now, that might be a fact, and that might be something I just made up right now, and it sounds good. But the fact is, you know, yes, I do a lot of pro wrestling, and, you know, that show was amazing. My voice is shot. I'm going to take the day off. I can't do this today. So right now, you know, these guys are going to come in. I'm talking about Chris Sinzak. He's going to sit down with Mitch LaFon from BraveWords.com, and they're going to talk about the top five Paul Stanley KISS songs. Not Paul Stanley solo songs. Top five Paul Stanley KISS songs. I mean, and there's been so many great songs over the years by Paul Stanley, you know, within the realms of KISS and outside of it as well. It's going to be hard to do. But since I'm not a part of this episode and I ain't got the strength or the voice to carry this on, and plus I got beat up by Fit Finley on St. Patrick's Day, I need to recover. So here's my top five real quick from Aaron Camaro. Come On and Love Me, Making Love, Love Gun, I Stole Your Love, Do You Love Me? Paul Stanley obviously is a guy that's got a lot of love to give. And speaking of guys that got a lot of love to give, I'm going to kick it on over to Chris Sinzak right now as he sits down with Mitch LaFon from BraveWords.com, and they're going to let you know what they think are the top five Paul Stanley KISS songs of all time.
So obviously, Mitch, let's go ahead and get the dirty truth out of the way. You had a health scare this past week, am I correct?
I did. I did indeed.
Well, go ahead and share with our listeners, because you're a regular member, regular guest on the show, what went down with you.
Well, you know, since I was 29, so the last 15 years or so, I've had this thing called atrial fibrillation, AFib. And on Sunday last week, my heart started racing. And all the medications that I'm supposed to take to control it couldn't. Ended up in the hospital. They pumped me with a bunch of medications. didn't want to set the heart straight. And eventually they had to take out the electric paddles and a little bit of propofol. I think it was the Michael Jackson brand, actually. And they had to sedate me and then shock me back into a regular rhythm. And, you know, listen, it sounds sort of clean and painless, but what it does is that it makes you so exceptionally tired. I mean, all week I've been a zombie. And it's tough. And, you know, the last time it happened was in 2009, and it doesn't get any easier, and it's not any more fun. But I saw the doctors, neurologist, cardiologist on Wednesday. They said, I'm good to go.
Oh, good.
And so, you know, and then I saw Van Halen live last night. And I got to tell you, music is a great medicine. It you get that rock and roll in your soul, and you sort of forget that you started off the week very badly, and it's silly to say, but it really did change my entire perspective of the week and how I was feeling. So, hey, wow. But you know, back on the mend.
Well, I'm hearing Shock Me in my head, and I'm hearing Kickstart My Heart. So.
Yeah. Well, I actually had that one. I didn't think of Shock Me, but Kickstart My Heart kept playing through my head all week.
I bet. Well, this is going to be a Paul Stanley themed episode. But while we're on the subject of Van Halen, go ahead and what's your review of the Van Halen show?
Oh, listen, it was fantastic. You know, like any of the old bands, is it the same as 1978? No, they're a little slower. They forget a word here and there, but you know what? It doesn't matter. It was entertaining. It was a show. The songs are great. And I had a great time. And if I get a chance to see them again on this tour, I will go once, twice, 10 times. As long as people say, come out and see them, I will go, because it was fun. It was really fun.
I decided it would be a good idea. We'd do a top five to us, Paul Stanley songs. And Paul Stanley is, other than Gene Simmons, is the constant in the band. And he's been there through all eras, and he helped lead them good and bad through all eras of the band. So, yeah.
He was Kiss in 1980 to 1992. I mean, he was Kiss.
Yeah, he was carrying the ball for sure.
Absolutely.
But, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to do it like me and Aaron do it. Aaron's not with us today, but, he's here in spirit. I'm sure he's going to listen to this, but, we're going to start off with our top fives, and I guess I'll go ahead and I'll go first.
Number five.
I wanted to go, first off, I obviously went back to the early days on my iTunes playlist and just seeing what stuff really spoke to me that I dig, and maybe some stuff that Paul hasn't gotten enough credit for. And my first choice, number five, is off the Hotter Than Hell album, and it's Got to Choose. And
great song.
The reason I picked this song is it sounds pretty good on the Hotter Than Hell album. It sounds as good as it can sound on the album with the horrible production that the album had. But when it really shined for me was when Kiss played here in Nashville. I think it was 93 or 94. They did the Gibson Guitars 100th Anniversary show.
Right.
It was an outdoor festival show, and they played on a floating stage. They had no pyro, just some lights, and they played like tons of rarities. And at this time, this was a real rarity for them to play. They broke into this, and it was like the song came to life. And it's great on the Alive album, too. But when you hear this song full blast in your face, I was just like, and the harmonies on the song, the vocals are great. And this is one of those where I'm thinking, if The Who or Aerosmith or something had released this, it probably would have been a radio hit back in the day. I think this was where the image may have worked against them.
Yeah, you know, that it's an absolutely great song. And, you know, funny for me, that song comes alive when they played it at the MTV Unplugged taping, and then it ended up as a Japanese bonus track and all that. I think that song acoustic hits the mark.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's fantastic.
Yeah, MTV Unplugged really showcased how good a lot of these songs are at their root.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And yeah, so I think we'll go ahead and we'll get into that. And I don't want to play the studio version of Got to Choose. I want to go ahead and play the Unplugged version, because it's you get to hear it all the way at its heart. So we'll go ahead and get this on. This is Got to Choose.
We'll be right back.
All right, that was Got to Choose from MTV Unplugged. That's my number five song, my favorite top five Paul Stanley songs. Mitch, what do you got for your number five?
Well, since we're going from five down to one, I'm going to pick one a little bit different, something that people don't think of, from the Carnival of Souls album. Essentially, you could say it's one of their worst albums, but there is a song on there called Master and Slave.
Mm-hmm.
That deserves to be put into a set list, that deserves to have a spotlight. We'd be shown on it, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Is the past tense?
Yeah.
that is such a great song. And I don't mean to be obscure, but that song really needs, and Paul just delivered. I mean, they were trying to keep up with the times with grunge, and they're trying to do this sort of, what were the bands back of the day? Not Nirvana, but they were trying to do that grunge kind of thing. And Paul captured the essence, captured the spirit, and he put a song on that really delivered. And it's a great hard rock song that Kiss hadn't done in quite some time.
Yeah, it's a great song. And I remember a quote from Bruce Kulick about it. I think it was in the Behind the Mask book, talking about how really, if you get down to it, there's not a lot of dynamics to the song. And that's why they stripped it down to parts being only the bass building it, kind of stacking things on top of each other, because it's really just a couple of riffs. But that's kind of the power of Kiss at times, though, where they can take something so meat and potatoes and make it into something that just kicks your ass. And you obviously can't talk about this song without discussing the huge scream from Paul in the middle of the song. I mean, it's just...
That's classic Paul.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was just like, wow. I mean, that's as much as I love the fact that they reunited, I still regret that they never did a Carnival of Souls tour just to hear that song and, in my opinion, Jungle live. You know,
yeah.
Those would have been great to hear. So, yeah, so I guess we'll go ahead and intro that one. This is Kiss from Carnival of Souls with Master and Slave.
Tell me what's the bottom line. Tell me, I'll get all that I've been told. I just wanna lose control.
All right, Master and Slave from Carnival of Souls. Great song, great album. It may have been kind of a grunge type theme album, but there is some really good rocker stuff on there. I'm going to go ahead and do my number four now. This is off one of, in my opinion, the best album, maybe the best album of Kiss's 80s output. We're talking about Creatures of the Night. And there's a lot of really good songs on this album. And this is one that I kind of thought was a bit overlooked, because it's 100 miles per hour all the way through. You've got War Machine, you've got I Love It Loud, you've got the title track and stuff, and those are great songs, but I just feel like they've been played to death, and this is kind of a good one that really picks up the pace, and I'm talking about Danger.
Absolutely.
So what are your thoughts on this track?
Danger is one of the greatest tracks that nobody knows about.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
It's pure adrenaline Kiss, and you know, there was so many big hits on that album in terms of, you know, people recognize War Machine, they recognize I Love It Loud, and then the album tanked and the tour tanked. But had it not, I think Danger would have been an MTV staple or mm-hmm. you know, radio single.
Yeah.
And because of circumstance, everything died, and the song disappeared, but wow, what a great track. Great track.
And, you know, Paul's vocals are on point on the song, but mm-hmm. you also got to give a lot of credit to Eric Carr's drumming on the whole record, but on this song too. And then, if I'm remembering right, it's Bob Kulick doing the solo on this one, not Vinny. But the solo, and I remember reading a story that he had initially played it at a slower speed, and they wound up modulating the song up to a faster speed, and then they've had new equipment that was developed in the early 80s at the time. It was real exciting, and they were able to modulate the solo up like a half step with Bob not having to recut the solo.
The track, yeah.
So, which is a funny story in hindsight now, because with Pro Tools, you know, you could have done that in 5 minutes, but it's a really awesome solo. And, you know, Bob Kulick, for good or for better or for worse, he thinks a lot of himself. And I do, to this day, think he has a bit of resentment for not getting the gig. But he has done some valuable contributions to this band. I mean,
And I mean, there are rumors that say that on Alive 2, on the live stuff on Alive 2, that he did all the in-studio fixes. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder about that. He did a good Ace imitation. So,
yeah.
He's not the only one who does a good Ace imitation.
No, as we found out years later, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to bash Tommy. But so let's go ahead and listen to this one. This is from Creatures of the Night. This is Danger.
Number four.
To go soon as the daylight is fading.
All right, my number four for top five Paul Stanley songs, Danger off Creatures of the Night. Back here with Mitch LaFon, my guest. Mitch, what do you got for your number four pick?
Well, I'm going to go back to the early days, 1975 to be exact, Dressed to Kill. Mm-hmm. Come On and Love Me.
I don't roll that way, Mitch. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, maybe you should, because it's such a great song. I mean,
I'm just saying.
You know, we all remember Rock and Roll All Night from the Dressed to Kill album, and that became the great single and the great, you know, anthem. But Come On and Love Me is so Kiss. I mean, you know, Paul was selling his, you know, I'm the lover in the band, and, you know, everything's perfect about that song. And I really wish that they would pull it out a lot more often live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you like that song?
I do. I actually love that song. But yeah, my comment was based on just the song title. But
not, I know, of course.
I know. But that was one that when they came here in 97 for the reunion tour, we were part of the quote-unquote Lost Cities tour, which meant B-Market. They pulled that one out, and I didn't know they were going to play that one that night. And it actually got a pretty big response amongst a lot of people in the audience. I was like, you know, this is a really good four on the floor rock and roll song. There's nothing fancy about it, but it's great. And the little solo parts, and I believe Paul plays the solo parts on this one.
Yeah, I think so. And they had also done, you know, one of the first videos, Kiss had used Come On and Love Me in a promo film back in the day.
It's an awesome film video. It really is.
It really is. You know, they were cutting edge because nobody was doing videos in 75.
Yeah, and being the hardcore fan I am, I love the backstage footage of, like, the crowd, you know, behind the gate and Gene's messing around with them and stuff. I still always think, man, where's the rest of that footage? You know, it's like I'd love to see that on the next Kissology or whatever.
Yeah, Kissology 4 or 5. Let's go pull it out.
Yeah, but yeah. So, yeah, from Dressed to Kill, and we'll play this. This is a cool version of Come On and Love Me. We'll give this one a shot. Check this out.
Come on and love me!
Yeah.
What's up, everybody? This is D Brew of the PWA Show. I'm here to talk about my show, where I'm the first mic. I talk about politics, sports, pop culture. Basically my show where
Wait a minute. You keep on saying my. What about me, man? I'm Corey H, man. You say you're the first mic. Well, I disagree. I am the first mic, man. I'm the one who can talk your ear off. I can talk for 35, 45 minutes about absolutely nothing, man. That's pretty much what we do every week. So if you want to hear that, you can check us out on thepwashow.com. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher, where you can stream us for free. We're on Facebook. We're on Tumblr. We're on Twitter. We're on anywhere, man. Just go to a website and type in thepwashow.com, and we're going to be there. So remember, we're the PWA Show, but our friends call us the Verbal Bullies. Hashtag that. Bitch.
Contemplating the mysteries of the universe? Like, what were Metallica and Lou Reed smoking? This is the Decibel Geek Podcast.
All right, we're back to the Decibel Geek Podcast, talking about top five favorite Paul Stanley songs with my guest from BraveWords.com, Mitch LaFon. And Mitch, I'm going to pick, for my number three, I'm going to pick something off Dynasty, or as they say in Australia, Dynasty.
That's right, Dynasty.
And definitely not one of my favorite Kiss albums, but it's a good one, cause, and it's got this little gem on here that Vinnie Poncia, God bless him, I did not like his production on this track. I like it on Sure Know Something and I Was Made for Loving You, and it's good for those songs. But this is a real rocky song that didn't get quite the right treatment, in my opinion, on Dynasty, but did later on when Paul broke it out on his solo tour, talking about Magic Touch. Now, this song is, it's just a really good, it's a melodic song, but it's got a lot of punch to it also, especially when you hear the version we're about to play. What's your thoughts on Magic Touch?
It's another great forgotten song. And the one thing I remember about Magic Touch is in 1987, Aerosmith put out an album called Permanent Vacation that had a song called Magic Touch. And I was so excited. I said, oh, they're covering Kiss.
Yeah, right.
Turns out they weren't covering Kiss, but had they covered Magic Touch, it would have been a perfect song to launch their new career in 87. But yeah, listen, it's another great forgotten Paul song and one of those that the band needs to polish off and throw into the set list once in a while. It moves. Mm-hmm. It's poppy. It's rock at the same time.
Yep. And I like the little high falsetto part he does in the middle of the song. You know, the little sweet part. It almost has a Raspberries vibe to it. You know.
Absolutely.
And then it kicks right back in real heavy, and the drumming's great on it. And so we'll go ahead and we'll check this one out. This is Paul doing it on from his One Live Kiss album. This is Paul Stanley doing Magic Touch.
Number three.
Here's one we've never played. This comes off Dynasty. It's called Magic Touch.
Magic touch, and you're walking around in a dream. She's got the magic
All right, Paul Stanley performing Magic Touch off 1979's Dynasty album, off the One Live Kiss record that he put out with the solo band. That was a great solo band he had. Mitch, that was my number three. What have you got to counter that?
Well, listen, if you want Magic Touch, then I'm going to have to go with I Just Wanna from Revenge.
Okay.
That song is just this fun party rock song that has great audience participation when they sing it live, has that sort of double entendre that Kiss is known for. You know, they're singing one thing, but we all know they mean something else, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It's perfect. it's fun. It's up tempo. It gets the crowd going. I don't know. You find the fault in it.
Well, it's a tad summertime bluesy. I mean, I can hear the influence, but not that that's a bad thing. I mean,
that's what rock is. Rock is kick back, you know, put down the car top and let's go.
It's a pretty good tune. Vinnie Vincent was involved in the writing of that song. Did you know that?
Okay, hold on. Let me scrap that. Let me go to my next pick then.
Mitch, yeah, not the biggest Vinnie fan in the world, as we found out.
But at the same time, Bob Ezrin was involved, and Bob Ezrin is Kiss, Bob Ezrin is Alice Cooper, Bob Ezrin is one of the producers that has shaped my life, so
yeah,
bonus points there.
Bob Ezrin lives in Nashville, please come on my show.
Oh, that would be kind of cool, and he's Canadian, so it's all synergy, it all works together, you know?
I hope you're right, I would so love to interview him. But so anyway, well, let's go ahead and bust out I Just Wanna.
I got a body built for sin and an appetite for passion. Yeah, I can see the road to ruin and I'm looking for some action. I got my finger on the trigger and a match to the fuse. I make someone an offer that's too big to refuse. Tired of trying to be. Never see that.
Right off of the 1992 Revenge album, that's I Just Wanna, another great Paul Stanley song here on the Decibel Geek Podcast. We're talking about our top five Paul Stanley songs, favorites to us. I'm here with Mitch LaFon from BraveWords.com. I'm going to go ahead and talk about my number two. We're going to do our number twos, and then we'll go to a break, and then we'll keep you in suspense for number one.
Number two.
My number two is a song, which some of these songs were co-writes with Paul and other people, which you just can't get around that. Paul likes to write with other people. But this is a song that comes from the non-makeup 80s era that he wrote all by himself, and in my opinion, is probably the best Paul Stanley non-makeup song written solely by him. And it's from an album that is not the greatest album. I'm talking about Tears Are Falling off Asylum. Now,
that's a good song.
This song is one of those that came out in 85, I think, that Asylum came out. I believe so.
It did.
Yeah, 85.
September 16th, 1985.
Mitch is on it. So,
I know, sadly.
So Tears Are Falling, and it sounded current at the time. And this is one of those where if they play it now, I still think it holds up. It doesn't have that 80s sheen like, you know, to like the a lot of the Crazy Nights material. It sounds very 1987. But Tears Are Falling is one of those where it kind of supersedes the era it was written. And aside from the goofy video with Paul with the fluorescent day-glow green gloves and, you know, using the wiper things in front of his eyes.
And the volcano.
Oh, yeah, you can't forget the volcano that they had to time perfectly when it exploded on the video. So, yeah, horrible video for a fantastic song. But this is going to be a live version of Tears Are Falling because I think we've all heard the Asylum version enough. And I want to play a good one that the Revenge Era lineup did because I think the Revenge Era lineup really made this song sound amazing when they played it live. So off 1985's Asylum, here's a good live version of Tears Are Falling.
Thank you.
All right, Tears Are Falling off 1985's Asylum album. That was a good live version of that one. Mitch LaFon, what have you got for your number two?
Well, before I reveal it, I have a little story. I was going to pick Shandy from Unmasked because I first interviewed Gene Simmons in 1980. My first promo album was Unmasked, so I have a soft spot for that song and that album. But I got to be realistic. Made for Loving You from Dynasty is the better song and deserves to be on this list because whenever you hear it, you get in the party mood, and it saved Kiss for all intents and purposes. As they were coming off the solo albums, you know, the Dynasty tour and the Dynasty album would have tanked even worse had it not been for that hit. And people remember Kiss and go to Kiss concerts in 2012, a lot of people, because they go, oh yeah, that's the band that did I Was Made for Loving You. And so you have to include it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to. And it's a fun song. It's a fun song.
I like what they've done to it since 1990 when they brought it back.
Correct.
It's way better in recent years than it was at the time. Although at the time, I mean, if you were around in 79, it wasn't that out there for that song to be out. I mean, it fit right in with the era. So.
Well, it absolutely did. I mean, you know, it was competing with Casey and the Sunshine Band, Donna Summer, you know,
Village
it was
people.
Just before the Knack made rock, you know, less dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was.
Yeah. Well, why don't we play a real kick-ass version of it, though?
A live three or something.
You want to do a live three?
Why not? That's one of the better versions, and it's got Bruce wailing on it.
All right, let's check this one out. This is I Was Made for Loving You, the kick-ass version from a live three.
Thank you. Listen to the Decibel Geek podcast on your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones with Stitcher. Stitcher's smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Hi, this is John Bonham, and you're listening to the Decibel Geek podcast. All right, welcome back to the Decibel Geek podcast, talking about our top five favorite Paul Stanley songs. We're discussing all eras, and let me go ahead and say, because I know some people are listening to this going, how come there's nothing from the 78 solo album? Part of the ground rules that me and Mitch laid out for this was we were not going to go the easy route and allow that album to be a part of it, because otherwise I might pick at least three tracks from that album, because I love that record. So,
absolutely.
So, wanted to make it a little bit tougher and stick to just the official Kiss releases, not the 78 release, and certainly not Live to Win. So,
because Bulletproof is such a great song.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, but listen, it is a good song. I wouldn't put it in my top five, though.
No, not even top 25. But okay, so we've kept you waiting long enough. We're gonna go ahead and pick our number ones. Now, here's my number one. This is a co-write that Paul had, and I believe it's the only, if I'm remembering correctly, the only Paul Stanley. No, maybe one of two. One of the only Paul Stanley, Sean Delaney compilations.
Oh.
Collaborations. Shouldn't say compilations. Collaborations. And this is another song where Bob Kulick comes into the picture. This is off side four of Alive 2. And admittedly, this is not one of Paul Stanley's favorite tracks. I'm talking about All American Man. And the reason I know this is not one of Paul Stanley's favorite tracks is, gonna, Mitch, I know you remember this. A few years ago when Kiss was doing tours, and this was in between before Sonic Boom came out, and I think they were just trying to keep things a little fresh or give the fans something. They did a show in Wisconsin at a festival or something, and leading up to the show, they had a poll on Kiss Online saying, here's seven obscure songs. We want the fans to vote, and whichever one wins, Kiss will play it at this Wisconsin fest or whatever. And All American Man won, and you can, and I'll play a little clip of it during the show here of just Paul introing it, because I don't want to play that version because there's not a lot of very good quality versions of that out there. So Paul hates this song. It's obvious where he says,
"Here's a song we've never ever played before, and we may never ever play it again."
I don't know if he's embarrassed by the lyrics, because the lyrics are pretty corny, but man, the song just rips. The guitar parts and the drumming, and Side 4 of Alive 2 is very near and dear to my heart. And I just think it's a great song, and I think Kiss is crazy to not play it more often. So, Mitch, what are your thoughts on All American Man?
Well, I'm with you. I love that album. Mm-hmm. I love that song. And, you know, when they did play it at Milwaukee, I think it was Milwaukee Fest or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They should have kept playing it. And that's the kind of song that Kiss needs to throw in the set list today. You know, every so often for the geeks like you and me, they got to pull out these fun, forgotten songs. And All American Man, it bounces along. Mm-hmm. The vocal is fun.
The solo is amazing.
No, and Kiss sells fun at the end of the day. In the 70s, they sold danger or whatever. But in 2012, they sell fun, and that song says fun.
Let's go ahead, and I'm just going to play the Alive 2 version because it's the one that I fell in love with. So here it says, my number one top of my top five Paul Stanley songs of all time. This is All American Man.
Number one.
Yeah. American man.
All right, doing America proud. That's All American Man off the side four of Alive 2. My number one pick for my top five favorite Paul Stanley songs of all time. And all we got left, Mitch, is your pick. What do you got for your number one?
Simple. It's not only the best Paul song, it is the best Gene song, Peter song, Ace song. It is the best Kiss song.
You wanted the best?
Bar none. I bet. I'll bet on this easily. It is from the Love Gun album, I Stole Your Love. That's it. That's all you need. That is the ultimate Kiss song. It's fast. It gets to the point. It's great live. It's great on the album. It's lyrically fun. What else can you say? Gene has never written anything as close to as good as I Stole Your Love.
I don't know. Boomerang comes close.
Well, burn, bitch, burn. I got my log in your fireplace, whatever the hell that lyric is. But still,
yeah,
I Stole Your Love. And when they pull that out live, and they have in the last few years, it blows everything else in the set away, period.
Yeah, it does. It does bring the tempo up a few notches for sure. It's definitely
Does. And the last time I saw them do it live was in October of 2009 in Montreal. They were on this 35 Alive tour, and they had this stagnant set list, and they came to Montreal, and I had the set list memorized in my head, and they opened up with King of the Nighttime World, and I went,
wow,
what? And then like three songs later they did I Stole Your Love, and I went, and that was it, I was done.
Probably thought you had taken some bad acid or something, so you can mix it up that much.
Well, yeah, especially since they had done the Alive 35 tour for like a year, and they had played the same 15 songs for like a year, and all of a sudden they came to Montreal and they played two different ones. I was like,
They knew you were there, Mitch.
They must have. They must have, because, well, and by the way, King of the Nighttime World probably should be in the top 10 list, you know?
Yeah, but that's a Kim Fowley tune.
Oh, that's right. It's a cover.
Yeah, the Hollywood Stars did the first one.
That's right. Good point.
Yeah.
But listen, I Stole Your Love. It's better than Deuce. It's better than Reason to Live. It's better than Cadillac Dreams.
Everything's better than Cadillac Dreams.
So... Well, not everything.
Well, most of them are.
You know, listen, Paul, you know, Heaven's on Fire. I've Had Enough. I Still Love You. Whatever song you want, whatever era, whatever. I Stole Your Love will get you going. And if you're having a bad day, you put that on, it'll put a smile on your face. That's it. That's all. It wins. And that's it.
What's the best way for people to get in touch with you and to check out Brave Words?
Well, obviously, going to bravewords.com is nice and simple. There is a Brave Words page on Facebook that I maintain. So if you write to people through that Facebook, you'll find me. And of course, I'm on Facebook. Go to Mitch Lafon at Facebook and like me, or whatever you do it. Friend me, I guess, is what they call it. Or follow me on Twitter, Mitch Lafon.
All right, well, let's crank a good, awesome live version of I Stole Your Love. This is Mitch Lafon's number one favorite Paul Stanley song of all time. Let's hear it.
Someone you needed, someone to, yeah.
rest. How does it feel? Find out you're failing your test. Cause I'm
there you have it. Brave words and intelligent words coming together. You can't argue with those guys. You know, there's so many great Paul Stanley songs in within the realm of Kiss throughout the years. You know, everybody's got their picks, and you guys are always welcome to let us know what you think through the Decibel Geek podcast website, which is www.dbgeekshow.blogspot.com. And of course, you can always check us out on Facebook too. You know, you're always welcome to leave feedback and leave us comments, you know, and just get in on the conversation with us. That's what it's all about. I want to talk a minute about a guy that always was into the show and, you know, really gave us great feedback all the time and was a guy that just dug what we were doing, you know, and his name was Tony Whitfield. And, you know, it's sad news for me to have to say that, you know, Tony from Los Angeles has passed away. You know, we've lost a Decibel Geek. Is what we have, you know, and it's a true thing, you know, and it sounds funny, but, you know, you guys know by listening to the show, what we're doing here is it's kind of important because we're bringing back the rock, you know, and that's what we strive to do. And when there's people out there like you and like Tony Whitfield that love and enjoy this show and we get feedback from you guys, it means a lot to us. Now, Tony, you know, he was very special. He'd been battling cancer for a while, and, you know, the way it goes with cancer, you know, a lot of times, you know, the cancer wins, but Tony wasn't a guy that just, you know, sat back and just let it happen to him. Tony was a guy who, you know, he founded this thing. I don't know if he founded it, but he was involved in it for sure. It started back in 1988 in LA. It's a special education school. And what they did was they started this class, which was basically like a school of rock kind of a thing for kids that needed special education. And they put together this band called the Kids of Whidney High. That's W-H-I-D-N-E. Or N-E-Y, sorry about that, Whidney High. And these guys, they play clubs, they've got CDs, and Tony was a big proponent of that, you know, and I think that is just amazing, you know, that, because everybody loves rock and roll, you know, it doesn't matter if you need special education, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, whatever, you know, everybody that loves hard rock and heavy metal, you know, that's what the Decibel Geek podcast is all about. We cater to you. Because you love the same things that we love, and we all love the same things that Tony Whitfield loved. And so I just wanted to take a moment at the end of this episode to, you know, thank Tony and give the Decibel Geek podcast best wishes and, you know, just our love to his friends and family. You know, Cassius Morris from Creatures of the Net, a great friend of his. You know, we're going to take a moment. I'm going to turn it over to him. You know, he's going to read a little eulogy. If you guys take the moment to listen to it, I'd really appreciate it, because Tony Whitfield, man, the Decibel Geek podcast, we love you. You're one of us. You'll always be one of us. So at this time, please, I'm going to turn it over to Cassius. And we'll see you guys right here next week. We got something special lined up for you.
With a testimonial about Tony, here's Cassius Morris of the Creatures of the Net podcast.
Tony was a huge Kiss fan and a really good friend to me. I knew him for about a year and a half over the internet, and he was such a great guy. He really was the most positive person I had ever had the pleasure to meet, and I have a story about that in a second. I'll keep it brief, but I really wanted to say rest in peace. Tony passed away of cancer recently, a week or two ago, and really shook me. I realized that, you know, life is precious, and it was a very sad thing. I remember Tony, here's just an example of his positivity. Tony and I used to chat on Facebook a lot, and I'm 13, and my dream is to meet Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley of Kiss. And I say, you know, if I ever meet Gene and Paul, oh man, what if I get nervous? And, you know, if I ever meet them, it'd be crazy. And Tony would say, stop right there. You mean when you meet Gene and Paul. And he really loved my podcast, and he really believed that because of it. He said, you know, you'll be cool. Just walk up to them, tell them about your show, and you'll be cool. And Tony was just such a great guy. So thank you, Decibel Geek Podcast, for having me on to just send my condolences to his family and friends. And everybody listening to this, if you would go to Facebook or Twitter and make a Rest in Peace, Tony, your status update, I'd be very grateful. Thanks for having me.
Remember to check us out at dbgeekshow.blogspot.com. Facebook.com/DecibelGeek and Twitter at DecibelGeekPod. Also available for free on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.